So the next mechanism for enforcement is investigations. In the Financial Litigation and Charitable Trust Division, our main authority for our investigations resides in the Business Organizations Code. And that allows us to investigate the organization, conduct, and management of a filing entity or foreign filing entity in Texas, to examine books and records, and to issue a request to examine to get records. And we call those RTEs, request to examine. Those are the main mechanisms for how we proceed with our investigation. Just a note about RTE documents. If you receive an RTE from us and you respond with documents, those documents are confidential by law. The request itself, the fact that we've given it to you, might be subject to the Public Information Act, but the documents are confidential.
Jennifer, how does that work in CPD?
We, kind of the same way, we actually also have a document request under our statute. It's 1761. We call it a civil investigative demand. And when Leslie says confidential, it's a little different in our statute. It's directly written out. You can reference it. It'll be on the next slide. It says we could use them basically in the enforcement of anything under that chapter. So we can use it even though it's confidential. One way we are able to use it is a lot of times we can ask the producer of that document. So if you're a nonprofit and we have access to your bank account number, we can go ahead and subpoena that bank account from that bank and get that information, and we can ask whether it's Wells Fargo or Chase if they'll let us use it. So we're able to use it in that way. So those documents are confidential. One area it's different is we do have power directly in the DTPA that allows us to take pre-suit depositions. We refer to them as sworn statements. Those actually are not confidential. There's no confidentiality clause written into them. But with that said, a lot of those we use information from the CID for those sworn statements. So those, any of that content where that is discussed, where the document is used as an exhibit, that would all be redacted from a sworn statement. So it is similar and different.
So what about charitable trusts? Does that statute authorize? My second disclaimer should have been that after 24 years, my identity has been formed to some degree, so the terminology that comes out of my mouth is not they when I say they. It is not when I say we, it is they. Let me get this straight. You see I'm confused. Yes, I am still learning when I speak that I am not the Attorney General's office representative anymore. So please, everyone, standard disclaimer has been made. It's recorded in the proceeding, and we can now continue.
And I think your question was about taking sworn statements.
Yes.
Is that right?
So
yes. We don't have anything in the Business Organizations Code that exactly parallels what's in the DTPA, but, you know, like any other potential plaintiff, we could use Rule 202 of the Texas Rules of Civil Procedure or the Texas Rules to take a pre-suit deposition if we needed to, and that's a tool that we can use.
So what are the other differences between the subpoena authorities of the two divisions?
Well, for one, in consumer protection, if you look at the statute, it says for both the sworn statements and the civil investigative demands, is it can go to any person. So we can send it to an entity where you appoint a person to discuss on behalf of that nonprofit, but we can also send it to the president, the director, the accountant, the treasury, whoever, and I think that's a little bit different.
Yeah, only to the extent that I think we're limited to a filing entity or foreign filing entity in Texas, but it couldn't be our target organization or another organization as well.
So under the Business Organizations Code, do we have to have a reason to be concerned or believe there's been a misrepresentation?
Under the Business Organizations Code, it's unlike the DTPA in that the DTPA spells out if the Consumer Protection Division has reason to believe. That doesn't exist in the Business Organizations Code, but please be assured that if we are issuing an RTE, if we are investigating an organization, it is because we have reason to believe that there's a problem. If we have opened an investigation, if we have initiated litigation, not just my eyes or Jennifer's eyes have looked at this. There's been a whole chain of people that have evaluated the case, looked at the evidence that exists and the potential and does believe, but it's not a statutory requirement. That's just the process.
And these are just the sites for the DTPA, reports and examination, civil investigative demands, and it does have that language. If you see in both, it has reason to believe or believe any person in possession. One thing with us is we can also get merchandising or products and impound them by a court order under that. The other thing is under the DTPA, it goes in the same theme of you have engaged in, you are engaging, or you're about to engage in, and that factors in under the remedies that we'll talk about later as well. I think that's a natural transition to litigation.
Exactly. I think so, too. So outside of the realm of the light touch enforcement activities is litigation. It's obviously a key enforcement tool for us. Chapter 123 specifically gives us authority to intervene in a proceeding involving a charitable trust, as we've discussed. So that's one way we might get into litigation.